Christ our advocate and our mediator. You know, a mediator, my sister, she has the responsibility of being a mediator. And so she gets cases and she has to mediate between the person and maybe the courts or whatever. She has to talk for the people. She has to find a way to get them together. Christ is that for us. He stands. We are able to go to him, to God, because of Christ. If Christ had not come, we wouldn't be able to go straight to God. But he came, and he walked this earth, and he was in the flesh, and he knows what we feel like. And he went through anything that we go through. God, Jesus, was able to go through that, and he knows. He has firsthand experience of the things that we have.
Yes.
So we have a wonderful advocate. We have a wonderful mediator, somebody that cares. In there, we're going to read some scriptures, but in the scripture, it says that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Sometimes you'll get a lawyer, for instance, if you have a problem and you need a lawyer, you might get one and he'll take your case. But he may not have a clue as to really how you feel within, because he never been through that. He just knows what the book says about thus and thus. But Jesus had firsthand knowledge and experience. He felt pain. So when we go through pain, like we're sick and we go through pain, remember that Jesus felt pain. And he knows how to help us. He knows how to comfort us. Do you know sometimes we have problems and we'll go to our friends and we'll talk to them and we'll tell them about our problems and they don't really know. They are friends, so they want to listen, right? And they want to kind of feel what you feel. But unless they actually went through it, they don't know. I'll tell you an example. Sometimes a person might say, "You lost your husband? Oh, I feel so sorry for you." And they might do that. But if they never went through that, they only know from a certain point. But Jesus went through. He felt the physical pain. He felt the emotional pains. He felt the temptations. He felt everything that we went through. And so a person that went through the same thing that the other person do, they have firsthand knowledge. They have firsthand understanding of what you're feeling. Let's go to 1 John 2:1-2.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
See? He's the one that can, he stands in the gap for us, for our sins. He is our advocate. He's going to, you know, an advocate is somebody that's going to talk up for you. Maybe you might not feel like you can, we'll talk later, okay? You might not feel like you can, you know, I got a problem, but I can't talk to this person. I don't even know how to talk to him. But God is the one. He can talk for you. Or you, sometimes you may get something. When I grew up, I was more shy than my sister Rose. And a lot of times she said, "You know, I would fight for you because you wouldn't fight for yourself." That's the kind of person she was. But, you know, you need an advocate. You don't need somebody fighting physically, but you need somebody to talk for you. You might go for a job, for instance, and somebody say, I'll put in a good word for you, you know. And then they put in a good word and you get the job. That's your advocate. It's somebody that's going to go to bat for you and help you out. Now let's go. To 1 Timothy 2.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
See? He's the mediator between God and man. Jesus is. So we can believe that when we call on the Lord, we'll get some results because of Jesus. You see, God and Jesus are one. And yet, because of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for, it gives us somebody to mediate for us. And to say, you remember on the cross, Jesus was on the cross and the people were crucifying him. And he said, Father, forgive them. He didn't just ask them to forgive him. He said, for they know not what they do. He had a feeling of what those people were in the flesh. And so he could give a reason to forgive. And so we have Jesus on our side. If all men turn their backs on us, Jesus will not turn his back on you. If everybody just do this, you come to them and they turn their back and they don't even want to listen to you, don't feel bad because Jesus will not turn his back on you. He is your and my advocate. He is the one that will see after us. He cares, like that song said, he cares. What a privilege to take everything to God in prayer because he cares. Oh, I love Jesus. I love my Lord Jesus. He's so wonderful. He loves me and I love him. When you come to the altar to give your heart to the Lord and you ask him to come into your heart, he will come in there and he will be your friend from now until you die. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not look down on you. Sometimes people might look down on you, but Jesus won't. So it's so wonderful to give your heart to God. Just ask him. When he come in, he'll be your true friend. Sometimes you have a friend and you say, well, I thought they were my friend, but now they won't even speak to me. But that won't happen with Jesus. He'll always be your friend. Romans 8:34.
Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
So you see, when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, have mercy on me. The Lord, God Almighty, he can look at his son that made all that sacrifice and he'd just have mercy. We get to come to him, but Jesus is there too, talking to the Father in our case. Sometimes I wonder if he wouldn't, some of the reason God has so much mercy might be because of Jesus. You know? Sometimes he might feel like giving up on us sometimes. Well, I told this child and they keep doing it. Give them another chance. Give them another chance. So it's wonderful to have Jesus as an advocate. And you know that when we ask, we can believe that we're going to get the things that we ask if we do right, if we live right. If we follow his word, we can expect to get the things that we ask. Let's go to Hebrews now, 12:18-24.
For ye are not come unto the mouth that might be touched, and that runs with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness and tempest. And the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they did not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dark.
You see? Thank God we don't have that kind of God to come to. He has that kind of power. Do you know he has that kind of power? But we can come to him, and we don't have to be afraid to come to him. Afraid he's going to cast us away, or afraid he's going to do that. And that was in Moses' time when Moses, I think he had gone to the mountain and come back or something. Anyway, there was smoke and there was thunder and all of that. And if anybody touched that mountain, they would have died. But we don't have to be afraid that if we touch God, we're going to die, because he cares. He's going to solve our problems. If we have a problem and we go to a lawyer, sometimes those lawyers can solve our problems, and sometimes they can't. But there is no time that God cannot solve our problem. We can come to Jesus, and he will take our case, and he will solve it. He has the perfect solution. He is the perfect mediator. I know in some cases, they might get one lawyer and look like that lawyer's not doing any good. So they have to get another lawyer. That happens. But you know, when you come to Jesus, he's the perfect mediator. And he can solve every problem. No problem you have is too hard for God. Just bring it to him in prayer. Let's go now to Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. And why I want us to read this scripture, because it shows what Jesus went through. He went through what we go through. So he's capable and able and well experienced to solve our problems.
Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Look at all of what we get because of Jesus, because of what he went through. He was wounded for our transgressions. If you have committed sin, you can ask him to forgive you for your sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He suffered these things. The chastisement of our peace, our very peace, comes through him. And by his stripes, we are healed. If we're sick, God heals us because of Jesus' stripes that he bore on his body. What a wonderful advocate we have. We can bring every kind of thing. Sometimes we may have financial problems, or we may have physical pain, or we may have relationship problems. It doesn't matter. All of those problems, bring it to Jesus. Lay it at his feet. Sing one verse of that song, the first verse that y'all sung. What a privilege.
Just tell Jesus every member, trials come to make you strong.
Never, never leave you. In prayer, when you have a problem of any sort, because he's there and he's willing. We have a great privilege to bring everything to you, to him in prayer. Let's go to Hebrews 4:15.
Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
So now he was tempted in every point like we are, yet without sin. So do you know that when you give your heart to God and you let him come in your heart, he will help you not to sin. He will keep you from sinning. No case that we have is too hard for him. No problem. No sin that's going to try to bombard us is too great for God, because he will help you not to sin. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him to help you. Pray to him. Bow before him in prayer. When you feel tempted, don't give in to temptation. Just say, Father, help me. And he will. Let's go now. I want to read John. We have quite a bit of reading in John. So if you read, read loud enough, because we're going to read John 11:1-35. I want us to get a hold to how Jesus feels. He feels what we feel.
John 11:1.
Start at verse 1, and we're going to read the whole case.
Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because he has no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Okay, stop just a minute. So you see the situation. Here was three friends of Jesus. Martha, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were his three friends. And but Lazarus was sick and he died. And here you can kind of feel, because you know how it feels when you have a friend and your friend dies. You feel for what they feel. So this is what's happening here. You want to read on, please.
And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to that intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he was laying in the grave 4 days already.
Okay, stop just a minute. So, he died. But Jesus, there was a purpose in him not going. He could have gone there and healed him before he died. But he didn't. He hesitated. But you notice that he said, it's good for me that I wasn't there. It would have been hard, because he knew their feelings for Jesus. He would have had, he said it was good that he wasn't there, so that he could go on and die, because he had a miracle that he was going to show them. But his human part felt what they were feeling. Read on.
Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
Yes.
Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which were with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him?
Stop just a minute. Notice how he felt. He groaned in his spirit. He felt how this is his friend too. His friends are grieved because they lost their brother. And so it grieved him. Today, Jesus has the same grief for us when we're grieving. You know, we'll finish this. But the other day, I was looking, they were talking about Vanessa. And Vanessa is sick. And you know what? The Lord had been dealing with me with this message, and this came to me about how Jesus feels. Don't you know when your child is sick and you're feeling grief? I had to shed some tears for them at that day, the other day. And then I realized that Jesus felt feels what we're feeling. Read on.
Then the Jews hired, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that this even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it.
See how he's feeling? He knew what he was going to do, but yet he felt the pain. So he even groaning, and he wept. Do you know, I believe the Lord, I had almost a thought that when we weep, sometimes Jesus weeps too. He sees when we're sad and grieved, and he cares. Read on.
Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hear me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go.
Thank the Lord. That's good enough. So you see how God raised Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Today we can have problems that the Lord will solve for us because of his great love for us and because he knows how we feel. So now let's go to 1 John 1 and 5. I'll read it in 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We can have confidence that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If we ask according to the will of God, he hears us. And when we ask, we can believe and we can have the things that. But you know, we need to come to him sincerely. We need to live a life that pleases him. If we live a shabby life, we just do what we want to do. We ignore him, don't obey the word of God, just do our thing. We cannot have these promises. But if we live for God daily, we can claim the promises of God that he does hear us and he will answer our prayer. I was thinking about how that sometimes we get a lawyer, and a lawyer can be very expensive. But you know what? When we come to the Lord, we don't have to pay. Well, it's free. Read Isaiah 55:1-5. We can come to him freely and he'll give us the things that we have need of. We don't have to hesitate. We don't have to be afraid to come. Like those people were afraid to touch that mountain. They should be, because they would lose their lives. We don't have to do that. We can come boldly. One scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may find grace to help in the time of need.
Isaiah 55.
1-5.
Ho, everyone that thirsteth, thirsty, come ye to the water. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not?
Right.
Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee.
Yes. So, come to the Lord. One scripture says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. So I want us to all be encouraged, no matter what we're dealing with, that God is the answer. Jesus is our advocate. He is our mediator, and he will solve our problems for us. Pray for me.